Welcome to Food for Thought, the place to explore, celebrate, and manifest a life motivated and defined by unconditional compassion and optimal wellness. Today's episode is a rebroadcast of one of the most popular episodes of Food for Thought. I hope you enjoy this episode. I am working on some new episodes as we speak. Lots going on as usual, and I want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by the sponsors of this podcast, which is you, the listeners of this podcast. So if you'd like to be a supporter and help this podcast continue, you can go to patreon.com/ColleenPatrickGaudreau. I also want to remind you that we have some trips that are live right now at joyfulvegantrips.com. In the meantime, I just wanted to make sure you had something to listen to while I'm working on new episodes. And so I thought this was a good episode to keep you occupied until I have a new episode for you. Enjoy. Let me know if you have any questions. As always, you can find me at joyfulvegan.com. Thanks, everyone. Enjoy.
As an animal activist and cooking instructor, I've pretty much heard every excuse in the book for why people continue to eat animals. There seem to be as many excuses to eat meat as there are land animals killed for such a purpose, and that's 10 billion. There are 10 billion animals killed in the United States each year for human consumption, by the way. So I may not have heard 10 billion excuses, but I've heard pretty close to that number. And I have yet to hear a convincing reason. I don't think people really give much thought to the justifications they create, or rather they've never really been challenged, I think, when they say things like, if we didn't kill and eat animals, the world would be overrun with them. Or, these incisors in my mouth prove that we were meant to eat animals. We can talk about those arguments another time, but for now, I would rather focus on one that tends to get my proverbial goat, and no offense to goats, I adore goats. Anyone who knows me knows I love goats, so there's no offense to goats here. This is an excuse that doesn't really sound like one because it uses a clever tactic, diverting attention away from the issue at hand to speak to other social injustices that are no doubt important, but really not related to the issue. As a jumping off point, I'll quote directly from someone who shall remain nameless. Here's the scenario. An activist was interviewed in a magazine that focuses on social justice, vegetarianism, animal rights, and nonviolence. And one of the questions was, are you vegetarian? And this was her response. I was a vegetarian for 8 years. It was not ultimately a healthy choice for me. Now, I support organic farming, plus free-range and humanely grown chicken and beef products. I don't believe in extreme views that do not take the complexity of human beings' lives into consideration. Many people do not live in climates that are conducive to vegetation, for instance, and have survived by eating animals for hundreds, if not thousands, of generations. Should they, or their ancestors in this country, who have a genetic predisposition to eating meat, be judged? And what about the insects that are killed and displaced in the growing of vegetables? Do we not care as much about them as we do about the animals? Of course, I do not support the inhumane treatment of animals in the commercial chicken and beef industries, but I also do not support a simplistic vegetarian good, meat eater bad philosophy. Now, when I read her response, my first thought was, the question was, are you vegetarian? Pretty simple. The question was not, do you believe people in extreme climates can eat vegetarian? Or, do you believe vegetarianism is right for everyone? Or, do you believe in a simplistic vegetarian good, meat eater bad philosophy? Now, maybe the editors left something out of the final version of the interview, but when I read her lengthy response to a simple question, it reminded me of the many ways in which non-vegetarians feel the need to justify their actions, and I know I did this before I was vegetarian. But more than that, they justify it in the name of people who live thousands of miles away. Let me explain. First of all, she said that she doesn't believe in extreme views that do not take the complexity of human beings' lives into consideration. And as support for this statement, she went on to say, many people do not live in climates that are conducive to vegetation, for instance, and have survived by eating animals for hundreds, if not thousands, of generations. Now, I've heard this kind of response before, and by the way, it always comes from meat eaters. The problem with this response to the question, are you vegetarian, is that it usually does not reflect the climate or the lifestyle or the income of the person speaking. In other words, focusing just on the United States alone, which produces way more food than we even know what to do with while children starve in this country, it's a non-issue. So just because someone lives in the mountains of Tibet and have trouble growing snap peas, that doesn't have anything to do with why someone in the United States cannot eat vegetarian. It's not a related issue. Another interesting point is that she declares that she supports organic farming plus free-range and humanely grown chicken and beef products. And at the same time, she, quote, does not support the inhumane treatment of animals in the commercial chicken and beef industries. I really hate to say it, but chickens and cattle and all animals, no matter how well they're raised, and that's questionable, we'll address that later, they all wind up in the same transportation process and in the very same slaughterhouses as their commercially raised counterparts. The other problem is that unless you visit the farm yourself, humane farming is an unregulated term that relies on public perception. It doesn't mean anything. Many products that people assume come from humane farms just because they say so are deceptively labeled and in fact come from animals who are confined and mutilated just like animals in factory farming situations. And one important thing to note is that when something's labeled organic, it has absolutely nothing to do with how the animal is treated. It refers to the feed and the health care the animals receive. So the feed has to be organic and not contain antibiotics or hormones. But it doesn't refer to the animals' lives at all. That's a real misconception. Finally, one tactic that the interviewee uses that I've seen all too often is trying to catch vegetarians at being hypocritical somehow. So she says, and what about the insects that are killed and displaced in the growing of vegetables? Do we not care as much about them as we do about the animals? I find it somewhat troubling that someone who consciously eats mammals and birds is trying to find fault with people who consciously don't eat mammals and birds, but who happen to live in an imperfect world where animals are killed in ways we really have no control over. Yes, insects are killed in the growing of vegetables, but insects are killed and mammals are killed and birds are killed in the growing of vegetables for the raising and killing of mammals and birds, right? You have to raise crops to feed the animals who we eventually kill so that humans can eat them. So you're actually killing more insects when you're eating both plants and animals. And the assumption is that people who eat meat are also eating plants. And that doesn't even address the issue of the plants going to the animals instead of directly to people, again, who are hungry in this world. There's no dearth of food on this planet, and there's no reason anybody should be hungry. But that's a different issue. So the problem I have with what she's saying, using her insect example, is she saying that because we can't do everything, we should do nothing? If we can't be perfect, we shouldn't do anything at all? That she thinks she has found some kind of flaw in the philosophy of vegetarians or anyone who's trying to live a life of nonviolence as much as possible in this imperfect world? Insects and animals are killed in organic vegetable farming every day. I've stepped on way too many insects than I want to know. And, you know, I even killed my goldfish by accident when I was 11, and I still feel horrible about it. But does that mean I shouldn't do what I can now to prevent the torture and death of living, feeling beings because of what I'm unable to control? I just don't understand that mentality. You know, there are as many reasons not to eat animals as there are lives that could be saved by making a simple dietary change. One of the joys of being vegetarian is that my behavior is consistent with my values. And though it's not a perfect world and I am not a perfect person, it feels really good knowing that my personal choices reflect nonviolence and compassion and kindness and simplicity. Adopting a vegetarian lifestyle is one of the best choices I've ever made, and I've never had to offer any excuse for it. I don't have to justify it. That's the difference between when I was eating animals and since I've stopped eating them. One thing I like to say is, don't do nothing because you can't do everything. Do something. Anything. Thanks for listening.